In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Nicholas has asked me to do something, and I thought I'd try something a little bit different. So sort of have a series based upon the epistles that are coming up, including today, about marriage, bringing up children in the faith, what is a Christian household, and using the words of the Apostle Paul to sort of direct us a little bit. Now, I feel very inadequate for this task because I don't think I'm good at anything, being a husband or a father, although I've learned some things. It's better to learn them later than not to have learned them at all. And I hope that you can benefit from my experience and from the words of the apostle. He writes today that we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now he's referring to us Christians, really individually. But let us take another view here, and let us consider that this epistle is to a family, specifically to a husband and wife and their children. Now, if you do not have children, it still applies to you. If you are not of the same mind, it still applies to you. Because the apostle says, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. The purpose of marriage is to be God's building, to have a life together which leads to heaven for both the husband and the wife and the children. It doesn't matter how much each one contributes. It should be 50-50, or really the better way to put it, it should be 100%, 100%. But when it is not optimum, we still have entered into marriage, if we understand marriage, for the purpose of the salvation of the soul, that is, to be God's husbandry, to be his building. So, marriage could be considered to be a house. And you put things in a house. Now, when you put things in a house, you put things that are attractive, that you like, or you leave the place a pigsty and dirty and a place that is not comfortable to live in. Now, if a person cares about their house, they put things in it that will last. They put things in it that are good and holy. And so a husband and wife are building a house. And this house contains them. And if God grants, it contains children. And we are responsible for putting good things in this house. God has born us, and we have entered into the church, and as in a family, a husband and wife have entered into the sacrament of marriage so that they become one for one purpose. Everyone has the same purpose, whether they're married or not, the salvation of the soul, the union with God, perfection of our soul. And some people have a way that is monastic, some people have a way that is married, and other people have the honorable estate of living in a celibate way, neither married nor monastic. Don't believe anybody that tells you this stuff. It's all malarkey, that you have to be either married or a monastic. What you have to be is someone who loves God and follows his commandments. That's what you have to be. So a husband and wife have entered into marriage for the purpose of salvation of the soul, if they understand it that way. Because that is the purpose of marriage. And so, let us continue with the apostle, with using this template of understanding what he's saying about marriage. And by the way, it is perfectly okay to take the scriptures and sort of apply them, stretch them a little bit. We're not going to be crazy about this and say that they say things that are somehow justify our behaviors or a certain thing that is an important issue to us. That would be to misuse the scriptures. But certainly, there is no doubt whatsoever that if one of us is God's husbandry, then those of us who enter into marriage and become one with another, according to the scripture that says a man shall leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh, then certainly they together are also God's husbandry and God's building, and responsible for putting good things in this building, that is, their life together. So the Apostle Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So to apply this to the Christian life, what is the foundation? Well, the foundation is the grace of God, which has entered into your life to make you one, man and wife. And then from that grace of God and from your love for one another, there may be the begetting of children, and you are building on that foundation. But not just children, but also a life of love for one another, of patience, of humility. This is a challenge. Every single one of us that's married know this is a great challenge. I think, if we were honest, we would say that after our first year of marriage, we recognize that we weren't such good people. We weren't as patient as we thought. We didn't love as much as we thought. We didn't forgive as much as we thought. We weren't as humble as we thought. We were a lot lazier than we thought. In some other circumstance, I would say everybody say amen, because it's true, right? Isn't it? Absolutely. But we, with God helping us, grow and learn to love and have patience and humility. That is the building onto the foundation. Now that, if it occurs with children, the children witness this. And they don't just see their parents talk about faith and maybe in some egregious cases drop their children off to church or bring them to catechism or whatever and then go home themselves. They don't see their parents being flippant about church, going occasionally. They don't see their parents cursing God with one part of their lips and blessing God occasionally in church. They see a uniform action of their parents, that their parents care about God, and that is the most important thing. Not that their children get a great education, or that their children are considered to be so bright or smart or good in athletics, or that they make such a good life for themselves according to our criteria of materialism, basically. But they know, the children that is, that their parents love them and desire that their souls would be united with God. And they show this desire by the way they live. That is the building on the foundation that you must do. Now, okay, we don't always build so well. Sometimes we have to knock down walls because we built them wrong and they were crooked. That happens in life because of our sinfulness. But your priority must be to live a good and holy life and to show it to your children. Now you'll fall short, okay. But the most important thing is, do you have that priority? That's very important. That's more important than anything else. Do you have the ability? Well, maybe not. But God will help you with the ability if you have the priority. So consider God now, in this case, to be the wise master builder who's laid the foundation of baptisms and of the grace of the church and the Holy Spirit filling each one in your family, and of the grace of the crowning ceremony, and God making two people one. Have you ever thought about how incredibly magnificent that is? Especially two people that are of opposite gender. Often it's hard for people of opposite gender to be one. We think differently. We act differently. Sometimes we have different priorities. We have different ways of understanding even the same word. Everybody knows this is true, who's married. And God makes us one. Do you know why? Why is this? It's an image of the Trinity. It's an image of our salvation. God is one with himself, with no argument, with no disagreement, with perfect unanimity. And we are to learn to become one with each other. Now, if you become one with yourself, that's easy. Only a very strange person argues with himself. But to become one with another human being, with their needs, with their desires, with their sins, with their foibles, that is a magnificent thing. And that is what we are building upon when we build upon the foundation. We are building upon that beginning of unity that God has given us, all the things we need to be one, all the grace necessary. Now we must provide our effort, our desire, our priorities. And the most important thing is your priorities. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I go into houses to bless them. And I recognize that every room has a big TV. And hardly any room has an icon. I think that's a measure of our priorities. Do you watch more TV than you read the scriptures? Do you read the scriptures? Do you pray? Do you struggle to live a Christian life and show your children that Christian life? And your spouse, for that matter, that Christian life? Like I said, how good you are at it is not really that important. God will help you with that. But God will not instill in you the desire to be one with him. You have to have that desire. Now, as you grow in him, that desire increases by the grace of God. But if you are living a secular life, basically, God will not make it not secular. You have to build upon the foundation. And it is a glorious foundation. And it is a glorious building. My wife and I had this little thing we did with our children. It was very effective because it's true. It's childlike, but it's true. And that is, every time they did something good, they're putting another golden brick on their wall of building their tower to God. But every time they do something bad, they're taking bricks away. You can think of your life like that. Build upon the foundation. Now, marriage is not just about being in love. Marriage is not just about having the same interests. Marriage is about being one and learning to submit to another person so that we could learn to submit to God. It is the number one place for us, those who are called to this estate, to learn to submit themselves to God. And also to submit yourselves to your children. Now, obviously you should not obey your children as far as their whims and their childish desires. That would be chaotic. And I'm sure some of us have seen households like that. Seen people in Walmart with children that are causing their parents to obey them. And it's an ugly scene. But to submit to your children is a different matter. To submit to their needs, to their weaknesses, to consider yourself lower than them in that their needs are above your needs. That is how you submit to your children, not submitting to their ego, to their sins. No, you're supposed to teach them that those things are wrong. Now, the apostle goes on to say, and we've already really kind of talked about it, because it's impossible not to talk about Christ, and when you talk about anything theological, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, in your home, Jesus Christ must be foremost. A good way to see whether or not Jesus Christ is foremost in your home is, are you abiding by his commandments? Do you love one another? Do you forgive one another? Do you read the scriptures? Reading them together is a great idea. But reading them apart too. There are practical things that can go happen in a home that are great. If you can read scriptures together, that's good. But absolutely, they must be valuable to everybody. And prayer must be valuable to everybody. And coming to church together, to commune together, must be valuable beyond price. Other things you lay upon this foundation might be, well, the apostle goes into this. Let's take a look at the next verse. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. And the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. So the apostle is giving us building materials. And in the context of the Christian home, those building materials would be, and the precious stones would be, love, humility, giving way to the other person, living with a desire for union with Christ and making that evident in your activities and the things you say. Then again, there's wood, hay, and stubble, which are not as useful as building materials because they don't last as long. Some of them barely at all, maybe just a season. And that would be when you ignore people, when you have your own needs put above others, when there are arguments, when there's rancor between one another, a lack of understanding. Those are wood, hay, and stubble. And that all of our work will be declared. It will be made manifest, because there will be fire. The fire is the vicissitudes of life, the difficulties of life. Our children will get older. They'll go through troubles. We went through them. They're going to go through them too. Are we going to be ready for them? I always thought I'd be ready, and then I didn't feel like I was ready. But God will help you. You know, someone once said, and I agree with it completely, that every sermon, the best sermons, are autobiographical. You know the old adage about what a writer should write about? He should write about what he knows, right? Well, so should a priest, a preacher, preach about what he knows. And I certainly know my faults. But I also know you. And I desire for you to not repeat some of my faults, but to have perfection. And I believe the things I tell you, that it's not about your ability. If it was about ability, I wouldn't be a priest. I wouldn't even be a Christian. But it is about desire. And I absolutely have the desire. I'm going to digress for a second just because it's a good story. There was a story about Abba Agathon, who was a desert father. And he was of great renown, but there was somebody who was jealous of him. So he comes up and says, I've heard about this Agathon, that he's a fornicator. And Agathon says, yes, it is true. And he says, and he's a lazy layabout, good for nothing. He says, yes, that is true. And he's a liar. Yes, that is true. And he's a heretic. And Agathon says, no, I am not a heretic. All those other things, absolutely, because I'm a sinful man. And I accept them with humility because it's good for my soul. But to be a heretic is to deny God. I did not want to be in his presence. And that I cannot say because I want to be in God's presence. Of course, I'm embellishing a bit, but that's the story, basically. And so it is with marriage, with the Christian life. We're not very good at what we do, but we better want to be good. That's the critical thing. You better desire to be good. You better desire to be the best husband, wife, father, mother you can be. And focus your energies on it. And then God will help you with it. It's very critical. It's all that matters in life is, are you going to have union with God? Are you going to become perfected? And of course, if you bring about children, which is an act of godliness, you should also desire that for them. Not just their education and the best schools and all the rest, but you should desire that they grow up with humility, with love, with compassion. Because those are the only things that are permanent. Now, I'll say one other thing that is important because it's misunderstood, and this is more of a theological thing. The apostle says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. I'll tell you what that means. Not because I'm smart, but because the Holy Fathers have said this. What this means is that when a man shall be saved but so through fire, that means he's damned in the fire of hell. It's not that you can be saved if you really don't care. Somehow it's going to work out for you. It's not. It's not going to work out if you don't have the right priorities. I want to stress to you again, I'll say this until I die. It's not about how good you are. It's about how good you want to be. It's about how you order your life to become good. Your ability, God will change. You'll get better. But if you don't want to change, if you're just happy with the way you are, that's a dangerous position to be in. Because it could be that you're doing all the wrong things and you don't know it. But the person who's humble, he won't be ignorant about the wrong things he's doing. And God will help him. And one other thing from the apostle, the next sentence, applying to this idea of the Christian home. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? This is a foundational dogma of our faith, that the Holy Spirit abides within us. But like I said just a few minutes ago, if the Holy Spirit abides in the individual, wouldn't he also abide in the individuals who become one flesh through marriage? So wouldn't the Holy Spirit abide in us more if we have love for one another? Because where there is love, there is God. And where there is God, there is life. Outside of God, there is no life. Without love, there is no life. May God help you to build wisely on the foundation God has given you. The last thing I'll say to you is sort of a caveat. Because sometimes preaching to a bunch of people, everybody's in a different situation. Some people think, well, that doesn't quite apply to me because of this reason and that reason. Perhaps you're not of one mind with each other. Perhaps you're having struggles with one another. Perhaps you're not married. And you think, how does this apply to me? If God has called you to the estate of godly celibacy, then that's your estate. And all these things apply to you. You still have to build upon the foundation. It just so happens that some build upon the foundation with two, some with one, some with 100 in a monastery. So this applies to all of us. And it also applies whether your children are, in your opinion, doing well or not doing so well. Because they're always your children. And whatever mistakes you've made with them, or whether mistakes they've made that even weren't of your doing, it doesn't matter. They're your children, which means you should be continually trying to build on that foundation, praying for your children, hoping for your children, and improving for your children. God help us to build upon this foundation and create a truly Christian home for ourselves and for our loved ones. Amen.